You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Nice to have your company once again as myself, Dave Kellner and Dave Tyndall. I build up to another golfing week with the British Masters and the AT&T, Byron Nelson, the two events on the agenda this week. Dave Tyndall, first of all, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to this week. I enjoyed last week as well, even though we didn't have a winner on the podcast. We managed to grab a full each way payout with Adrian House in the event in the Canary Islands. And I thought it was a good week of golf, and we got the winner I think many people that aren't punters wanted to see in the States, with Rory McIlroy back in the winner's circle. Lots of damage done with the putter last week at Quail Hollow, a golf course that he loves, and sets us up nicely for the PGA Championship in a week's time.
Yeah, great to see Rory winning again. I mean, it's ironic, all the focus is on his swing and then just wholesome putts, and that kind of cures all the evils, isn't it? Like I saw a team, football team, who's not playing great, but they've got a goal scorer who can knock them in. So, yeah, brilliant for Rory. And it goes to show sometimes you've got to kind of trust the class of a player. And when you get him on a course that he clearly likes, it does funny things to their minds. And I think is it Ben Coley pointed out that it's been a cracking year for course form?
Yeah, that's true. Three-time winner now on the Quail Hollow layout. And I thought it was funny that everyone's talking about the swing changes he's making with Pete Cowan and whether that's going to bed in time. But it might be actually the work that he's been doing with Brad Faxon that's paid off in the short term.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's such a big part of it, isn't it? The putting. And there was a stat he didn't miss inside from 8 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, overall, I would say it was no surprise that he got into position, because we've seen him still be able to do that fairly kind of with his eyes closed. But I must admit, someone asked me on Twitter, do you think, he'll get it done in a final round? And I was dubious, because that's when we've seen Rory's the sort of weaknesses come out. But I guess maybe he didn't have a stellar field around him, and maybe that eased the tension a little bit. Plus the fact that he was on a course that he must feel that, on that particular layout, he's got a big advantage over everybody.
Yeah, and I think Keith Mitchell stumbling slightly helped him in the middle of that front nine as well, because Mitchell, having birdied the first hole, you thought he might pick up another couple and really put pressure on Rory. And he went the other way, Mitchell, and I think that definitely helped McIlroy playing with him in the final group.
Yeah, definitely. Would you now be looking to bat Rory for PGA?
I'm not sure, because of all the damage that was done with the putter last week. He's going to be such a short price now, because the narrative is that he's back and that he's going to a venue that he loves. And when the PGA Championship was last at Kiawah Island, he bolted in, obviously. I think
10-1.
Yeah.
10-1 favourite now, Rory.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of puts me off, I think, Dave. What about you? What's your gut feeling?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, has he suddenly become a better player than everyone else? I mean, 10-1, you've got DJ and Rahm at 12s, Bryson DeChambeau 14s, Thomas at 14s, Schauffele 16s, Spieth 16s, Koepka 20s, Morikawa 22. I don't know, he is a kind of a bit of an enigma, isn't he, Rory? So he could just use this as a huge stepping stone, but... Mm. He's one of those ones I wish I'd just taken a punt on him to win this before he won it.
We talked about it last week, Dave, that if you had been backing Rory McIlroy and you saw 20-1 at Quail Hollow, which was last week when we recorded the podcast, it was nibbled at just before the off, actually, that 20-1. You had to be on him again last week. And it's a shame neither has pulled the trigger, but that's the way things go, I suppose, sometimes.
Yeah, I think if you'd backed him at 20s, you'd probably... put some more on at tens for the USPGA. But if you haven't, I think it's a bit hard to look at that tens and think, you know, maybe I can get better in running possibly.
We need to have a quick line on Garrick Higo as well, who has made hay on the Canary Islands swing, hacked up last week. And is this a case of him taking advantage of the weaker fields out there, or is there something really there in terms of his quality? Dave, I suppose that question will be answered in the next 6 months or so.
Yeah. Again, was it Pat Mayo who I think put out a tweet saying something like, watch him now shoot 20 over in the USPGA. But yeah, I mean, he's a bit of a winning machine, isn't he? That adds to some previous wins at sort of lower level. And yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to see him tested in bigger fields, but massive talent, massive prospect. So very interesting to see how he progresses over the next 12 months.
Let's talk about this week then, Dave. We have the British Masters. The first thing to note here, this event starts on a Wednesday, not a Thursday, which is obviously key to your pre-tournament bets. And here at William Hill, Robert McIntyre is the 12-1 favourite. Bernd Wiesberger and Martin Keimer, both 18-1. Sam Horsfield is 20s. Rasmus Højgaard is 20-1. Danny Willett, 22s. Matthias Schwab is 25s, along with Dean Burmester. Torbjørn Olesen is 28-1. Andy Sullivan and Thomas Dietrich, both 30-1, 33-1, and bigger the rest. And the Brabazon course, the Belfry, is the host venue. This is a course that has held a number of decent events down the years on the European Tour, has hosted Ryder Cups as well. But the best and most recent pointer has to be the ISPS Handa UK Championship last year, which was played here and won by Rasmus Højgaard. You have to go back over a decade prior to that for the last time the course was used. And as for the particulars, Dave, the course measures just over 7,300 yards. It's a parkland track that plays to a par of 72. It's quite narrow off the tee, but not too punishing. And approach play is likely to be the difference maker this week. And it's a complete contrast to what we've seen in the Canary Islands the last 3 weeks. What are your thoughts coming in here and coming to this iconic course, Dave?
Yeah, I have managed to play it once and was dreadful.
I thought you might have.
Yeah, I was awful on it. I couldn't hit a fairway. And the greens are small, but there's some that are kind of quite tiered, and I was just all over the shop on them. So I found them really quite difficult, although I'm absolutely no sort of pointer to anything. But yeah, it is. You look at the winners at this course, and they tend to be sort of classy operators, I guess, overall, especially in the British Masters. So that would be one angle. I found it a tricky week, to be honest. I mean, they're playing Wednesday through to Saturday to give some of the guys who are going to play the PGA a bit more chance to go over there to South Carolina. I guess one angle that people will look at is Danny Willett is 6th in the betting at 22-1, throwing up the question, how do tournament hosts fare? So I've made a list.
Oh, go on, go through the, because Willett's hosting this week.
Yeah, so this is kind of what they do. They've kind of attached a big name to the tournament host for this event since 2015. So Poulter was the first of those at Woburn. He finished 33rd. Luke Donald at the Grove missed the cut. Then Lee Westwood at Close House was 15th in 2017 and 70th last year back at Close House. So the overall trend there is it maybe distracts them. But then also you've got Rose in 2018, 8th, and Fleetwood also 8th in 2019. Mm. So it's mixed evidence. I think it's dangerous to think, oh, he'll have his head turned. Just if you go purely on that notion that, oh, you know, taking nothing else into account, Willett will have a lot on his plate and all those sort of things. But, I mean, the reason I'd avoid Danny Willett is he's missed three cuts out of his last four in America and missed a cut here last summer.
Yeah, I think that's...
For those who want to know, then, yeah, it doesn't rule out playing quite well.
Yeah, that feels kind of more relevant than the actual hosting part, Dave, in my opinion. I looked at players that have good form in Scandinavia. We've seen Scandinavians come over to the UK and historically have done well. And I've actually gone with one selection who has a little bit of course form than last year's UK Championship, which Rasmus Højgaard won. So it's just the one pick for me this week, Dave, and a couple worthy of mention.
Yeah, there's, as you say, Scandinavians have done well. English players have done well. I mean, the weather forecast, it's going to be fairly mild, I would imagine, fairly for this time of year. Would be more North European in weather.
Yeah.
So which might help that. I've struggled to find a bet in this, to be fair. I've kind of got one to just be, well, not for the sake of it, but to put something up.
Yeah, not an official bet for you then, Dave. Yeah.
Well, I will do.
Yeah.
I'm not enamoured by his price or anything. But you go first because I think you sound a bit more.
I'm
emphatic about yours.
Kind of confident. I like Callum Hill this week at 33-1. Definitely encouraged by the price this week. He played really well last week to finish in a tie for 12th at the Canary Islands Championship, and he has form at this course, having finished 9th at the UK Championship at the Brabazon last year. And he was actually 4th in strokes gained approach last week, and that's something that I'm putting a lot of stock in. And I was encouraged to see that he was the highest finisher at this event, this course last year, despite recording negative strokes gained putting. I mentioned that the likelihood in this event, where the weather is going to be variable, is going to suit him more than last week. And that's borne out by his results. His two wins on the Challenge Tour have come in Denmark and Austria, which kind of have a similar feel to the UK course as parkland in design. And that's why we've seen Scandinavians, as mentioned, thrive on UK soil in the past. And he was also 8th in the Wales Open last year. And I just think he's primed for a good week in different conditions that might suit Hill more than the Canary Islands swing did anyway. And I like that 12th last week. I like the 9th last year. And he's got a really good, solid bank of recent form. So 33-1, I thought he was a decent each-way bet this week.
Yeah, he's someone who's been on my radar for a while. So, yeah, good luck with that one. My bet is nothing to make you be startled or go, wow, that's very left field. It's Martin Kaymer.
Yeah, 18-1, Martin Kaymer.
Yeah, 18-1. I mean, the argument then, last time we saw him, he was 3rd in the Austrian Open, gained 13 strokes tee to green, 10 of those on approach, which is impressive from Kaymer. I think it might help that he's not played the kind of easy events in Spain. It might have softened them up a little bit. I could argue that the other way and say it builds confidence. But I don't mind the fact that Kaymer's come in into this on the back of a 3rd, played in Austria. Then you look at course form. The UK Championship last summer, which you mentioned before, he was 3rd in that, probably should have won it.
Yeah.
And then you look at his overall form in England. Last 4 starts in England, 10th, 3rd, 57th and 8th. So he does enjoy coming to these shores. Plus maybe the idea that you do tend to get classy winners of it, and you look around the field and there aren't too many with great pedigree, really, when you sort of go beyond the top half dozen or so. So it's fairly, it's a sort of field of sort of hopefuls who might become good, but there's no one with real solid pedigree. And, you know, Kaymer's a 2-time major winner. So I thought at 18-1, there's enough there to have an each way bet.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. 18-1, Martin Kaymer. Of those others at the top of the betting, who stood out? For me, it was Sam Horsfield, who of course won twice on the UK swing last year. During the pandemic, and I thought he'd go well. And got to mention Rasmus Højgaard as well, who he's one of those that has the potential to have the pedigree further down the line, I suppose, Dave.
Yeah, well, same with Horsfield, really. We could be, you know, doing a podcast in 5 years and there'll be multiple winners. And, those two. So Bjørn Olesen's obviously coming into some form. 28-1 is a classy operator at his best, Ryder Cup player. Andy Sullivan lives local, 30-1, plays well in England, played well in this event last summer. Not amazing form, but he's got the pedigree. The only one at a massive price I looked at was Jordan Smith.
Okay.
100-1, as you saw, was fairly big for someone who has got a really good record in this event. British Masters, 3rd in 2018, 6th 2019, 35th last time. Then he was 13th at the PGA in November, which was a BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. So he does play well on these tree-lined English courses. Latest form, though, is not amazing, but it's not terrible. I mean, made the cut in Gran Canaria and Tenerife Open with plenty of rounds in the 60s. Just thought at hundreds, he might be worth an each-way squeak.
Yeah, one man that I want to mention at a massive price here is Maverick Antcliffe, who's at 90-1. I was looking through the strokes gained approach stats on the European Tour this season, and he's actually third in the list. It's a fair barometer as well, with 26 rounds logged for that third place in strokes gained approach. And he was second last week in the Canary Islands. It might be that, he missed the cut in the UK Championship last year, but he did finish third at the Irish Open last year, Maverick Antcliffe, and he's 90-1. I thought if you wanted to chance one that had a little bit of good form coming in from the Canary Islands, he might be the one at 90-1 this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
do you think there'll be a week in the future where Maverick Antcliffe and Maverick McNealy both win?
Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? That would be good. I think it would be
Maverick double.
No, I don't think that will ever happen, Dave, if I'm being honest. That's a million to one shot.
I don't know maybe those odds, to be honest.
Antcliffe and McNealy. Yeah, so he's one that if you wanted to throw a dart at a big price, but it's an event that we are stepping into tentatively, would you suggest, Dave?
Yes, that's a fair summation.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the AT&T Byron Nelson this week, where John Rahm tops the betting 8-1. Bryson DeChambeau is 9-1. Jordan Spieth 10-1. Daniel Berger 16s. Brooks Koepka 20-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick 20-1. Hideki Matsuyama back in action. He's 20-1. Scottie Scheffler is 22s. Will Zalatoris is 28-1. Mark Leishman and Sam Burns both 33s. Ryan Palmer 35-1. 40-1 and bigger the remainder. For the Byron Nelson, struggled this tournament to find a home in recent years, and the change of venue makes things slightly more difficult this week. But for the next 5 years anyway, this event will be hosted by TPC Craig Ranch, the course making its debut on the PGA Tour this week. There is some form for punters to have a glance at, though, as it hosted the Korn Ferry Tour Championship in 2008 and 2012. The winning totals of those two events were 17 under par and 16 under par, which suggests it will be low scoring. And the course actually played as a par 71 those 2 years. This time around, it will play to a par of 72. Looked at the flyover ahead of this event, Dave, TPC Craig Ranch, and it's really wide open. Four of the par fives play under, or all four of the par fives play under 570 yards. There's a couple of short par fours on the layout as well. I think this will be a second shot golf course, and that's simply because of the ease in getting the ball in play off the tee. I think the scoring is going to be very, very low this week, Dave.
Yeah, I think so. I had a look at those two Korn Ferry Championship events that were played there just to see if you could get any clues from the winners, but I'm not sure you could. Matt Bettencourt was 25th in driving distance in the season that he won that. So you'd say he was a bigger hitter. But the other winner is Justin Bolle. He was 101st in driving distance. So I'm not sure that's any help. It's as you say, I think it'll be a second shot course. It's not ideal. I mean, DJ would have... He's pulled out, if people aren't aware, he was in the field on Monday. He's pulled out with a knee problem. It's his third withdrawal, actually, this season, which puts doubts over him for next week. It's a shame shame for him, obviously, as well. But this week, he'd made the market a little bit, hadn't he? And I think he was pretty easy to take on, which means we've got some shortish prices knocking about.
It's one of those situations, Dave, where I don't think it matters as much during the times of this pandemic, but when tournaments have sold tickets and they've advertised that player X or player Y is going to be in attendance, there seems to be more high-profile withdrawals than there's ever been this season on the PGA Tour, and it's kind of not fair to fans. I know it's not as big an issue at the moment, but we've seen that, as you just mentioned, DJ's pulled out three times this. It shouldn't happen on the Monday of an event, I don't think.
Yeah. Two in a crowd. I've read that there's 12,500 through the door each day, which is not too bad.
Yeah.
Still only 25%. That's a fair amount. So those with Dallas or Texas connections might be helped. There's one who's a member in it. Sun Kang is a member here.
I read that as well. I mean, you talk about out of four members, if you're looking at that angle where, because every time you go to a new course, there's always a story pops up about a player that's a member at the venue, but Sun Kang would be low down on the list of those that you want to back that are members of a course that players are seeing for the first time.
Although he did win this event, didn't he, in 2019?
Yeah.
So maybe does well on... Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? You get quite excited by the fact that they're members, but I don't know if anyone's, you know, diligently logged the results of members at courses. Off the top of my head, they'd be fairly bad, I think.
Yeah.
I think the problem for them is that the golf course is set up different to how they play it for most of the year. I don't know. There's someone who's bored, who's listening, can maybe do that one time.
The one thing on that though is that the PGA Tour, when they go to a new venue, they tend to be quite reserved with the way they set the golf course up, because they don't want to they're all about the players, aren't they, basically, and they pamper to the whims of the players, and they won't want to make it too difficult this week.
Yeah, so in other words, you're telling me you are back in Sun Kang. Where is he in the back? I can't see him.
He is 300-1.
Is he? Right.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Well, we can't say we haven't mentioned him. So.
There you go. We'll claim that as a 300-1 winner if he does pop up next week, Dave.
Why not?
I've just got the one selection this week. There's quite a few I want to mention, but just the one pick.
Yeah, I've managed to dig out two.
Okay. I'll let you lead off then.
Yeah, so I'll lead off with Mark Leishman.
33-1.
Yeah, I didn't think that was the worst price, to be honest, given that he's coming in off a fifth at the Masters, which was a very good effort. He's actually got course form because he played in that 2008 Corn Ferry Championship at Craig Ranch, and he was seventh, so that was a good knock. And then you just look at his Texas form, it's just very good. He's done well in match plays. He was runner-up in this event, the Byron Nelson at Trinity Forest. Didn't he shoot at 61, I think, on day one in 2018? Played well in other Texas events. Knows how to win on the PGA Tour. Just for comparing him to some of those around him, I thought 33-1 wasn't the worst price. I think you could, especially after that fifth at the Masters, you could have put him in quite a bit shorter than that.
Okay, 33-1, Mark Leishman, Dave's first selection here. I'm going slightly shorter in the betting, and I'm going to take a shot with Will Zalatoris at 28-1 as my sole bet, given that he's the same price as he was last week in a weaker field, playing in his home state as well. I fully accept the possibility that he might be suffering some sort of Masters hangover given his missed cut at the Wells Fargo last week, but his overall numbers suggest he's really going to enjoy this place. He's first in the field in strokes gained approach over the last 50 rounds, and his iron play is the big differential, really. It separates himself from his peers with his approach play. The putter can blow hot and cold, but I just thought perhaps there was a little bit too much read into that miscut, as far as I'm concerned, last week. And I went back and had a look at how he'd performed that on the back of miscuts recently. I mean, he's not missed too many cuts in the last couple of years, in all honesty. But he's only missed cut in the last, since the start of 2020 came at the Sanderson Farms, and he bounced back the following week with a fifth place finish at the Shriners. So I just don't think the missed cut's a big issue at all. And his approach play is absolutely superb. One of the best iron players in the world. So Will Zalatoris at 28-1 in a field that's become slightly weaker since the defection of Dustin Johnson, I thought was fair this week, Dave.
Yeah, are you tempted to kind of double down and back him for next week? He's 40-1 for the USPGA.
Could well do so, yeah. I think he's got a decent shot next week. I did like the angle you came up with Victor Hovland, but he's going to be so popular next week, isn't he, Victor Hovland, there with that third place finish at the Wells Fargo and his form on Paspalum, as you've mentioned, and at Seaside Resorts as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think there'll be a lot of people this week doing the double. You know, if they fancy Rahm, DeChambeau or Spieth at the top of the betting and looking to roll into the PGA Championship next week. We've seen that double land a few times, haven't we, I think?
Yeah. Well, we'll come on to the top three in a minute. Do you want my second pick?
Yeah, give us your second selection.
Yeah, another I'm surprised at his odds, more surprised than Leishman, to be honest. I think 60-1 on Matt Kuchar is generous.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we saw him on the recent Texas swing. He was third in the match play. And obviously, you play in seven rounds if you get to the semifinals. You end up playing the third place playoff as well. So he was third in that. Then he goes to the Texas Open the week after and still managed to finish 12th, which was a really good sign that his game's in good nick. And, you know, he'd been saying how it turned the corner. Then clearly he must have been running on fumes, because then we roll into the Masters and he shoots 78 in round one. So I think that was where you saw, all right, it's finally got to him. And he shot a 70 in round two, which is always a decent score at Augusta. But I think we can forgive him that miscut at the Masters. And then benefiting from the extra 2 days off, he then plays the Heritage and finishes 18th, which, you know, is another good sign. So third, a 12th and 18th in his last four events. And then it's a fair kind of strategy to play if you're on a new course to look at both current form and also Texas form, because there are going to be some common denominators, the wind and things like that. And Kuchar is just brilliant in Texas. We've just seen him finish 12th and 3rd on the recent two events there in the Lone Star State. 2019, he was runner-up in the match play, 7th in the Texas Open. Go back to 2018, he's got 8th in the Houston Open, 9th in the World Match Play, 2017, 9th at the Byron Nelson, 12th at the Dean and DeLuca, 2016, 6th at the Dean and DeLuca, 3rd at the Byron Nelson, and on it goes. So he's got a history of cracking the top 10 at any Texas event. So I just think, why not play him at this event? And you could legitimately have him at 40-1, I think, here, but he's 60s.
Yeah, I like that play. Definitely was on my radar, on my mind this week, Matt Kuchar. Just before we go through a couple of other players that made the shortlist, Dave. Top of the betting, John Rahm, 8-1 at the top of the market, with Bryson DeChambeau at 9-1, Jordan Spieth 10-1. Rahm coming off that miscut at the Wells Fargo on the wrong side of the draw. DeChambeau having flown home and then flown back to play the weekend, played pretty well at the weekend at Quail Hollow as well, and Jordan Spieth at 10-1. Any of those three stand out to you above the others?
Probably Spieth, to be honest. They interviewed DeChambeau after he'd flown back and finished 9th. And when they were talking about this week, he said, "I like that golf course," which obviously suggests he's played it.
Oh, nice.
Which is a little line in. I don't know. What do you make of his figures last week? He was 74th in approach, losing minus 5.4 shots.
Yeah, that's a definite concern, isn't it? I just get the feeling that he is more suited to a venue where there's a little bit of jeopardy off the tee kind of thing. And, you know, where players are going, not everyone's going to have it in play off the tee, basically, like this week, in my opinion. You know, where the rough's up and it's... That maybe suits him a little bit better. But, I mean, apart from the approach play, the rest of his game was in superb order. And if he gets the approach play sorted, he's putting so well at the moment, isn't he, DeChambeau? I mean, his putting figures are incredible, really.
Yeah, gained 7 strokes with the putter at Wells Fargo, but those approach numbers, they're way off, aren't they? So
yeah, of those guys at the top of the betting, Daniel Berger's the one that I was closest to it at 16-1. You just look through what's required, what you think the course requires this week, strong approach play and putting. I mean, those are the two things that he does best of all. I mean, he picked up 5.5 strokes on the field at the RBC Heritage with his irons, and he rarely has a bad week with the putter.
Yeah, I do think Scotty Scheffler will win soon.
Yeah.
He's 20-1. But I feel like he'll finish sort of like fifth. But I reckon he's good enough to finish fifth in like a major at twice and more the odds. So I'm not kind of drawn to him at 20s. He's not a million miles away, but I mean, he was a runner up in the World Match Play in Texas. But I think at this stage, I'd prefer to back him just when everyone's in the field because he's still good enough to get in amongst them.
I'm sure you will have seen that Ryan Palmer holds the course record here, 61. It's a course that he's played a lot, an opportunity maybe for him to bounce back. But I just thought that the price at 35-1 was maybe a little bit skinny, given that purple patch he had seems to have dissipated slightly.
His last top 15 was at the Farmers Insurance, and that's at the end of January. So,
yeah,
it's stretching back a bit. He does actually miss quite a lot of cuts in Texas, which goes a bit unnoticed. But yeah, it's at 35-1 for someone who hasn't won in ages. That's right, isn't it? He hasn't won in a long time. Yeah. It's short enough, isn't it?
Yeah, that win came alongside John Rahm, didn't it, in the team event?
If you count that or not.
One other player that I thought was maybe slightly overpriced, had a really bad weekend at the Wells Fargo, but played well in rounds one and two. Actually, I think he was in the first 15-20 minutes play on Saturday, was inside the top five at the Wells Fargo. Carlos Ortiz is 66-1. He, of course, won the Houston Open in Texas last year. And I just thought 66-1 for a player of his talent, who also finished 15th in the WGC at Mexico, being off the boil, but he was better than the finishing position of 65th highlighted last week in Quail Hollow. I thought he was one to maybe take a glance at a big price.
Yeah. Any thoughts on Ricky Fowler? Do you think he's just still damaged goods for a while?
Yeah, I do. He's 80-1.
80-1.
He had a Friday 77 last week, didn't he, at Quail Hollow? I mean, if you're going to... I think 80-1 is an okay price. I'm not saying it's a bad price. It just wouldn't be for me.
Yeah, it's the only reason I'm looking at it, because he's 80-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played quite well in round one at Wells Fargo. I think he bogeyed the last two, otherwise he would have been in the top five after day one. He was 17th at the Texas Open, last time in Texas. Done well before Houston Open. But just I'd mention the price for those who can see little inklings of form.
I think that brings us to the end of the podcast, Dave.
I think so. What final one? What do you think of Koepka at 22s?
You just got that niggling doubt about the whether he's fully recovered, don't you? I suppose.
Obviously, the thing with the Masters was that is a very, very undulating course, and that wasn't helping him.
Yeah.
Even though he was pretending it was fine. I mean, we are quite a few weeks on, because his form was very good, wasn't it, before he kind of went under the knife. He'd won the Phoenix Open, second at the Workday Championship. So his last four results, he's got a win and a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you look at his form in Texas, it's brilliant in terms of the each-way money, I think. 3, 4, 5, 6... In the last 9 starts in Texas, he's got 3 seconds, a fourth, a fifth, and a ninth.
Wow.
So if he's back on it, that 22-1 could be interesting.
The injury sounded more serious than he's made out. That would be my reservation with Koepka. But yeah, I mean, maybe he's one to watch on Thursday and see how he plays.
Possibly, or maybe first round. I mean, you could argue...
Yeah, first round leader perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, you could argue it might deteriorate as the week goes on, but it's certainly a less demanding walking course than Augusta, this one.
Very good. Thank you, Dave.
Cheers, Dave.
Let's recap the selections then for this week, starting with the bet that you've got in the British Masters, Dave.
Yeah, just a point each way on Martin Keimer at 18s.
Yeah, I'll play a point each way on Callum Hill at 33-1. And in the States?
Yeah, the Byron Nelson. I'll have a point each way on Mark Leishman at 33s and a point each way on Matt Kuchar at 60s.
I'll just have a point each way on Will Zalatoris at 28-1. I do like Dave's Kuchar bet as well there at 60-1 too. Looking forward to next week already, Dave. Are you already preparing for your numerous different obligations ahead of the PGA Championship?
Yes, I'll be doing a trends piece over the next couple of days. So see how that goes. But yeah, looking forward to that one. Obviously, we've mentioned it in little bits and bobs here and there, but the Europeans were fantastic, weren't they? And the last time it was held there, 2012.
Yeah.
You had David Lynn finishing third. So, yeah, it could be an interesting one for the Europeans, and you might get a few decent prices on them.
Very good. You can follow Dave on Twitter if you want to check out that trends piece later on. That's at Dave Tindall Golf. You can follow myself at D Kellner. Do check out all the betting for the golf this week at williamhill.com and on the app. And don't forget, remiss of me not to mention earlier on the podcast, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying 8 places each way on the AT&T Byron Nelson. So make sure you get your each way bets on here with William Hill. Top price guaranteed, top 10, plus we are paying 8 places each way. Thank you, Dave, once again for your company. I thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast. And do make sure you follow us on Twitter and drop any messages on Twitter you have for us. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week for the US PGA Championship. Looking forward to that next week, folks. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Golf Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.